Okay, here we are.
Okay.
January 1, 2007.
Happy New Year.
Yes. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I had hoped that by now everyone would have received their oils, but that's not the case. The frankincense did arrive at my house Saturday, and I am I've got about half of them bottled. I think I should be able to finish putting out the last essential oil order tomorrow. That means that I have all the labels made, all the materials here, and I've rebottled about 2/3 of the ones that need to, you know, be in individual bottles. I will start packing, I think, probably tomorrow, and mailing tomorrow and Wednesday. And I want to thank everybody for being patient. I took on this project at the same time that I took on a full-time job.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
That was it? Well?
No, it was actually wow. W-O-W.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Mary.
Okay. And then, as you can tell, I was struck dumb.
Yeah. And I wasn't. It's a little hard for me to adjust, to switch gears, you know?
Yeah.
To think that, you know, what I was able to do a month ago, I'm not able to accomplish as quickly now. But we did have some Murphy law operating in this last order, too. And bless his heart, Christopher, who owns the company, that would be the White Lotus Essential Oil Company, was very sweet about everything and didn't charge extra for any of the shipping. And, you know, he was very patient. We just kept, between he and I, just kind of caused things to be delayed. But, oh, I have some news to tell you. Christopher did say that the particular frankincense that I have been promoting with everybody, that would be Oman. The Oman CO2 from the Oman region is what I'm saying. There's only 35 ounces left in his amount that he has on hand, and he won't be getting any more. So if anybody gets their frankincense and wants more, we need to put in another order. But until we have peace in that region, they're just not producing frankincense. As a matter of fact, he said frankincense will be going sky high pretty soon. So that's kind of an interesting thing, how politics plays a part in commerce.
Hi, Dennis, I am live.
Hi, who do we have?
Hi, this is Rebecca.
Dennis.
And Dennis?
And Dennis, okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Hi, welcome, everybody.
Hi, thanks.
Hey, Sharon, just so you know, we get in with Skype, and when I tried to put in the code, it goes, you entered 66666668041, whatever the code was. In other words, it's having some, this particular machine is having some problem recognizing the numbers when you come in with Skype. And so if someone's trying to get in with Skype, then chances are that they're not being able to get on. And so next time you do a conference, you might want to use another conference provider, because clearly their tone recognition something or others are having difficulty.
Take that technical advice.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm on Skype. This is Rich.
You are?
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I used the mouse on the keypad, so I don't know if you pasted it in, but I used the mouse on the keypad and it worked okay.
Yeah, I used the keypad numbers, but you know, just it could be just specific to me, in which case, cancel that advice. Hi, darling. It's great to be on your call. Are you about to kick off?
Yes, we are. I'm going to put the phone down for just a second while I go turn on the light. It's getting dark here. Just a second.
Okay.
Someone else new came on.
Who else we got?
Yes, this is Zelda.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Can you hear me?
Hi, is that Dennis?
It is Dennis, yeah.
This is Zelda.
Hi, Dennis. This is Serena.
Hi, Serena. I loved your latest email. You're such an artist.
Which one? Which one was it?
I'd have to go back to my computer.
New Year?
Christmas or New Year. You know, but every single email you send has got artistry and joy written all over it.
It does. Thank you. I try.
Well, you succeed, obviously.
I try.
Yeah. Who else is on the call? Because I'm
going
to come in and
there
are eight people.
Hello. Hello.
Yes.
Hello, this is Zelda V. This is V.
I didn't hear that. Would you say that again?
Yeah, this is V.
Yes. Hi, D. V, you're calling from Hong Kong?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, welcome. See, all I have to do is press 2, and it's going to count how many people are on the call. Just a second.
Okay.
I counted 8 when I came in. At least I didn't count. That was what I was told.
Okay, we have an even dozen now.
Okay, cool.
Cool.
All right. All right, a nice intimate group. So just to refresh everybody, press 6 to mute yourself, which you don't need to do unless you have a particularly noisy environment. The dog starts barking or the phone rings or something like that. And,
are the birds too loud?
Pardon me?
Are the birds too loud?
The birds? Yes. Your birds. You've got to train your birds better, Dennis.
Actually, I have these huge white cockatoos that are around about 18 inches high and about 8 inches wide, and they're like muscle birds. And they come to my feeding station, and they get attacked by the lorikeets. And the lorikeets are about 6 inches high, really colorful, and the lorikeets will do full-on frontal attacks on them. Sorry. Carry on, Sharon.
Oh. Well, that almost sounds like it's quite a drama going on in your yard.
Well, they're protecting their feeding space, and I don't have a yard. There's a 50-foot drop to the dirt from my balcony. I live up amongst the trees. I live amongst the high branches.
You'll have to take a picture for us someday.
Okay, I'll do that.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
A little movie.
Okay, so that's 6 to mute and 6 to unmute. All right, let's get going. I gave kind of a rough summary about where we are with the previous essential oil order, so I'm just going to go over it quickly again. I've got the frankincense arrived Saturday. I started decanting it. I have about half of it decanted. Actually, I have about two-thirds of the oils, all the oils decanted. I have the labels made, so it's just a matter of tomorrow. Tomorrow's my day off to finish that up, and I can start mailing tomorrow. And what I don't get mailed tomorrow, I will finish Wednesday. So everything's going to go out this week, and hopefully everyone will get them, except for Dennis and V. We'll get your orders probably by the end of the week. And I also let you announce that the frankincense that I'm sending out, the one that I have been enthralled with and felt very strongly about the Ormus connection, it's the Oman region CO2 frankincense. That, there's only 35 ounces left, and they won't be producing any more. The whole world market of frankincense will be, the price will be going up because of the war in the Middle East. So Christopher said that if we want any more, that we need to order it quickly. I'm making that announcement now. So when you get your order, make the decision whether, you want it, and we can get some more if you don't.
Put me down for one more lot, and I'll pay you.
All right, but you're going to have to email me, okay, because I can't do that accounting right now.
No.
All right? Okay.
Yeah.
I hope everyone had a chance to download the little essential oil digest that I wrote up a few years back. If you didn't, email me, and I'll send you the link where you can either link or, online. I mean, it's either on one place or another, but just email me and I'll get you connected up with it. I'm going to kind of quickly go over, I thought that because everyone's going to be getting their oils soon, that there's a lot of people here on the call that are kind of new to essential oils. So I thought it'd be worthwhile to talk about what not to do and some things that may enhance your essential oil usage. Essential oils, much like Ormus, is sensitive to bacteria. What you don't want to do with your essential oil is it's going to come with a little button on the top of the bottle. It's a little dropper, a plastic dropper, and if you put your finger over the top and turn it upside down to get some on your finger, you will, in fact, be contaminating your essential oil bottle with bacteria. So rather than do that, always, drop it onto the palm of your hand or directly onto your skin, but don't touch the little plastic button. Some people will be ordering oils that really don't dispense easily with that little button. You'll want to buy little eyedroppers, plastic eyedroppers. Some of these eyedroppers come with a lid, a screw-on lid that will fit on top of your essential oil bottle. And that's okay to use if you don't travel with your essential oil, and also if you use it regularly, and if you don't let it just sit that way. The reason is essential oils dissolve certain plastics, and it definitely dissolves rubber. So on every eyedropper, you have a little rubber squeezer. And over time, depending on the particular oil that you're using, that squeezer will disintegrate. So it's one of the nice things about this particular characteristic, is that these essential oils will do the same in your body. So whether you have thought about this or not, you do have a certain amount of plastics and petroleum products, petroleum-based products in your body circulating around in the cells, and essential oils will help break those down and remove them from your body. It is the reason the presence of petroleum-based chemicals in a person's body is the reason that some people, in fact, get headaches when they smell essential oils. This isn't a very large population. I've not met a great many people who will, an essential oil will trigger almost a near instant headache, but it does happen. When you wear your essential oils, be a little cognizant of that for other people. The problem with once you apply your essential oils, you can't really take them off. I do know a way to do that, to remove the scent, but it's not a way that most of you will have access to. If you want to ask me later on, you know, I can tell you how to remove the scent of the essential oils. But there are, so I try to use the most intense essential oils in a therapeutic manner. I try to use them on myself either when I'm going to be home for a few hours or just before going to bed. And then I will make an attempt at using the more readily acceptable essential oils during the daytime. So before going to work, I might use maybe a little bit of frankincense and lavender, any of the citruses, the lighter ones. And I'm going to be talking a little more specifically about which of these oils are, you know, considered more acceptable and lighter, and which ones are really intense. And it won't take you long if you're brand new and you want to develop an appreciation for essential oils. It will not take you long to, you know, figure these things out on your own. You just put it up to your nose, and if it makes you go, wow, you know, like slams your nostrils like with lemongrass or eucalyptus oil, then you have a sense, you know, that that's not one you want to wear very strong in public. Back to the fact that essential oils will break down plastics. One of the things that I grew into and learned to use essential oils, and it really added to my appreciation, was to begin to consume them. There's so many ways that you can do this, particularly, and the best ones to begin with are the citrus oils. So mandarin and orange and lime and even bergamot, not usually consumed, but it can be. Lemon, grapefruit. And I do a blender drink every morning. I generally juice, and then I make that into a kind of a smoothie. And I'll add any one of those citrus oils to my blender drink. When you pour, if you're going to use, you can make a lemonade. Oh, it's really delicious. Or add it to your orange juice. You know, whip something up in the blender, throw some ice in it. Anything that you're going to make like that, throw in a little orange, a little grapefruit, whatever you like. It's going to zest it up. It's lovely. But don't pour your drink into plastic. Pour it into a glass. You'll find that if you let your drink sit in plastic, the essential oils rise to the top, and they eat away at the plastic. So be cognizant of that. What was it I did? I did something. It breaks down glue. It's really hard to keep homemade labels on essential oil bottles because the kind of glues that we have to use break down very easily with essential oils. So when they start, so you might have to, some of these that I'm decanting, you may find that your labels will come off and you'll have to, you know, put on a new label yourself. But that's one of the beauties in essential oils, because whatever products that you have and chemicals that you have in your body that are plugging up your receptors, it's a very, very cleansing thing to do. Chemicals, the most contaminated chemicals out there, the ones that really cause a lot of havoc in human population and animal population, but are fat-binding chemicals. There are very few cleanses that address fat at the level of the cells. There's a lot of cleanses that will address fat in the liver, but we have fat cells throughout our body, and there are very few cleanses that will actually work at that level directly. There's presumably the liver cleanses over time, if repeated, or, you know, should provide you with long term. But how fast are we adding these chemicals to our body. So I think we want to look, if you're interested in that topic, essential oils will help cleanse the fat cells. This means that the fat cells are that are full of chemicals are not going to be the opening of the cell. I think that's like, I can't remember what the opening of the cell is called, but the contaminant will sit right there at the opening. And that means that we are not going to be able to absorb, or we will absorb very little of fat binding nutrients. That would be the most commonly known ones are like vitamin A, vitamin E. There's some B vitamins that are fat binding. I think choline or choline, I don't know how it's pronounced, is a fat binding nutrient. So when you begin to incorporate essential oils topically as well as consumption of them, they will help remove the chemicals that are interfering with our absorption of nutritional fats. And that would also include all of the good fats, such as the good fatty acids that we're also supposed to be getting on our diets. This relationship that I'm speaking about is not a minor one. People are under the false impression, too many people are under, and maybe it's a good thing that they're under this false impression. They're under a false impression that essential oils are just for the fragrance. And truly, nothing could be further from the truth. They are very, very powerful chemicals in of themselves. So I do want to encourage everyone to approach their use of essential oils with some respect and understanding that if you spill your essential oil on your table, it'll eat away the lacquer. Okay, these are strong chemicals in essential oils.
Karen,
yes, go ahead.
That cleansing of the fat that you were talking about, does that only happen if you consume them and not through the skin?
No. No, it happens when you apply topically. Either way. And this is a very difficult subject because there's this idea in toxicology that if you give the body a lot of something, it will set up its defenses and will not allow that toxin to penetrate. It's a kind of a biological reaction. So sometimes when we expose ourselves to a lot of toxins, we won't be absorbing hardly nearly as much as if we are exposed to the same toxin in minute amounts day after day after day. Our body doesn't recognize it as a threat, and so it will allow that small amount to accumulate. The same is true, or so I understand, the same is true with essential oils. Some people will do better in very, very small amounts, basically using 1 to 2 drops of one particular oil on a daily basis. Other people will not do well with the small amounts, and that the larger amounts that you would get by putting like 3 to 10 drops in a capsule, an empty capsule, that's the amount that their body's going to respond to. There's no easy way to know. And when we start dealing with kind of holistic kind of health, we really need to own and get in touch with our own sense of information. I know that, you know, Dennis, has his system. My system's a little bit different. But whatever your system is, you know, begin to, I think the simplest system to use is if you like the smell of something, then your body probably wants it. And then to follow a protocol, a simple protocol to in advance, okay? So the protocol would be, if you're somebody who does get headaches from essential oils, then aromatherapy would be the best way to begin, because the molecules in essential oils are so small that they lift up in the air, and that's why you're able to smell them. So these very small molecules will be entering into your body through your nostril just by smelling it. And if somebody gets headaches, then this is the way that you want to begin. If you don't get headaches, but you have maybe you think you're very toxic, maybe you're older, you've been exposed to a lot in your life, maybe you've done, you know, some things in your life that has damaged your body, you have some reason to suspect that your body isn't as robust as somebody else, then you start by applying this 1 to 2 drops of essential oils on the soles of your feet. If you want to jump up, you know, to the next level, then that would be applying 1 to 2 drops of one particular essential oil. So if you have like an array of 5 or 6, you would be putting a total of 10 drops, maybe 5 to 10 drops on your body. You might put these directly on your skin at the point at which you have an issue. So people who get headaches due to tension in the shoulders might put them on the shoulders or at the back of the neck. People who have problems with their knees or joints, they would apply the oils directly there. If you've got internal organ problems, you would apply the oil there. So you can put the oil directly at the site. They enter into the body very quickly, and I can't swear to the amount of time, but it's something like 10 minutes. Within 10 minutes, you put it on the sole of your feet, within 10 minutes they can pull the hair and do analysis on the root and find that the chemicals that just were applied to the foot are now in the follicles of the hair. And I don't know if it's 10 minutes, 30 minutes, but it's still very, very quickly that these oils penetrate and go through the body and circulate. But, of course, the most intense concentration of chemicals will be at the point that you apply them. And this is the first place that most people will begin using their essential oils. Direct application. This is called NEAT. Let me back up. There is one other application that is promoted in the United States. Different countries have different approaches to essential oils. But in the U.S., we are very, very conservative, and we promote aromatherapy. And then when we do application, they have a school of thought that is very insistent on using the essential oil blended with a carrier oil, and that would be like a massage oil. So those are very conservative ways of using them. I skipped that entirely and went directly into direct application. That's called NEAT, N-E-A-T-E. N-E-A-T. There's no E at the end. So when you do start using your essential oils neat directly on your skin, there's a couple of things you want to do. You could start off on your feet, the soles of your feet. The soles of your feet will not get burned from some of the oils that are particularly hot. But if you put it on, if you put your essential oil, avoid putting it on your face until you've learned more about it. And also avoid putting essential oils on your skin that's going to be exposed to the sun until you've learned something about it. Some essential oils are what's called photosensitive. They cause a discoloration in the skin. So you would want to start with, let's say you wear pants or shorts that come below your knees and you have a knee problem. So you can put it there. You have internal organs that you want to, maybe you have diabetes and you want to, pick up your pancreatic action. So there's a couple of oils that are really good for that. So you can put it directly there. But start with one drop and then work up. I did give some, I was overzealous when I first got mine and put clove directly on my dog. And he had the shits for 3 days. So this is like, we all detox in different ways. Most of us will not get diarrhea from a direct application of essential oils, but you might. More than likely, you will detox and probably get a headache. You can might get feel it or see it or smell it through your urine. And so I encourage everyone to pay attention to your bodily functions. Have kind of an eye and an ear out to what your body's telling you all the time. If you live a kind of a haphazard life, don't get too involved in essential oils because they do require keeping an eye and an ear open to what's happening. I talked about how small the molecules are in the essential oils, and there's another publication. I believe I've given everybody an opportunity to download this, but if you've missed it, again, write to me and let me know. This publication is called Cancer and the Triple Punch. Now, it might just be, I titled it Triple Punch. And what this is written by a doctor, was written by a gentleman who got his start in essential oils through a company called Young Living. Most people probably have heard of Young Living, but it's and I appreciate Young Living. They're great at, you know, getting the word out, and there's a lot of good things about it. But at some point, I realized that it wasn't providing me. The Young Living company wasn't providing me with everything that I wanted, and I had to branch out and get away from that. But the Triple Punch doc talks about how many of these oils, and I think all of them, will get through the blood-brain barrier. And you also know that the brain is mostly fat. So the same thing when I was talking about how chemicals are fat binding, foggy thinking is often a result of just simply being toxic. So even though, and I did also talk about the size of the molecules, and it's hard to know if you're the person that only a little bit is going to benefit. A little bit of essential oil is going to be your best benefit, or a lot of essential oil. Myself, I use a lot. I just feel that that's what I need, and that's where I'm at, and it seems to work for me. You want to get this document because it explains a great deal about chemicals. There are three primary groups of chemicals that are listed in this document. I think, if I have this correct, all essential oils are esters, and then it's a subcategory of esters. So in that way, all essential oils interact with our hormones. Hormones are not just related to our sex. Hormones govern just about everything, just like we have nerves that go to every part of the body. We have hormones and chemicals. Hormones are our body's chemicals, and essential oils interact at all of those levels throughout the body. So there are three primary, chemicals, polypropanoids, monoterpenes, and sesquiterpenes. And forgive me if this is old information for many of you, polypropanoids have their primary action is cleansing. Those essential oils with those chemicals in it are going to be the harshest on the body. The particular essential oil that has the most phenylpropanoids, is clove. It's about 90%. And my body just loves clove, so I recognize that I was probably very toxic. The next one would be cassia, then basil, cinnamon, oregano. Oregano is about 60%. And then 25%, it says anise. That's probably, I don't know an anise essential oil. And then peppermint's about 25%. So they cleanse the receptor sites. Monoterpenes have a job, and they go in and, I'm going to skip monoterpenes and go to sesquiterpenes. Sesquiterpenes go in and what do? They deprogram miswritten codes in the DNA. And then the monoterpenes.
I'm sorry, they deprogram what codes?
Miswritten codes. Okay, miswritten codes. So when your body's functioning in a way that it shouldn't, the sesquiterpenes will go in and wipe out that programming. The monoterpenes will then rewrite miswritten information on the DNA. So the three of these worked in conjunction, and that's why the title of this, the original title of this was Cancer and the Triple Punch. But it could be called diabetes and the triple punch, and it could be called, you know, just about any disease that you want to call it and the triple punch. The triple punch is the how the three of these chemicals all work together. Now, it's important that you let your body tell you what you need and what you want. So if we're going to continue this kind of kind of group purchasing and things like that, then everyone needs to go out to their local health food store and begin smelling the different essential oils. Make a list of the ones that you like. Make a list of the ones that you dislike. And keep track if there's a, the scientific name. If the scientific name of the essential oil is on the bottle, write that down. Because a fir is not a fir is not a fir, and a pine is not a pine is not a pine, and even the eucalyptus and different tea trees, and there are many different kinds, and some of them shouldn't even be called. I mean, there are things that are called, things that shouldn't even be called those things. Black cumin is one. It's not even in the cumin family. So keep track of what you like and what you dislike. And then you have a third category of, take it or leave it. Really didn't say much to me. With that, you'll want to order, and you don't have to order through, a group purchase. I only made this offer to people just to get everyone an opportunity to connect up to a high-quality essential oil that has very strong energy. And I'm not saying it's the only one. It's just the one that I located and I'm happy with. And begin exposing people to the essential oil world. So if you want to, break off on your own, this is how you want to do it. And if you want to, continue with a group thing, this is also how you want to do it. You want to order, you want to buy those essential oils that your body says yes to. And if your body stands up and says, whoopee, then that's what you want to get it. Don't let your mind take charge. The body's got a lead in this, you know. So some people place an will order just because they read this article about the triple punch. They want to have only the essential oils that have a particular kind of chemical in it. And that's not the, that's not honoring your body wisdom, and that could probably get people in trouble. Essential oils, the chemicals in essential oils are not like drugs. And when you look at the digest that I made or any book, you'll see that one essential oil has multiple things that it does. And you don't know if you take use an essential oil to improve your memory, but your body wants to use it someplace else, and then you might think that it's not improving your memory because you used it with that intent, but it's probably working elsewhere. You don't know in what way the essential oil is going to work on you. This is thankfully one of the reasons that medical industries, pharmaceuticals, stay out of the natural world, is because they're just too unpredictable. You can't. Now, France does prescribe essential oils. And again, in that, in the digest, I highlight which, you know, which oils that I had information to, which oils are used in France and for what conditions they're used for. And it always, and it doesn't mean just because France uses something for migraines that somehow it's better than something else that France doesn't recognize. Okay, so the essential oil world is still vague and doesn't have a real solid, absolute, you know, foundation. I was going through the lists. I think I shared last time about how after my breakdown, which was in February of 2000, just prior to that and definitely afterwards, I was only using one essential oil. It was the only one that my body wanted, and that was marjoram. And I didn't understand why I needed it. But after my breakdown, it was an intense, intense need to have the smell of marjoram around me. And I went scouring books and the internet. I found one reference to celibacy. And then I understood. It opened the door to my understanding. Because what the marjoram does is it subdues aggressive sexual energy. And it's actually used historically in different, it has been used historically as a matrimonial herb and supposed to enhance the, like the wedding night and stuff like that. And you can see if you're not talking about rape or an aggressive kind of sexual response, how it could, you know, be used in a more loving kind of sexual way. So not all the information on essential oils is out there. And just because you might hear something said 100 times as a, you know, a belief about an essential oil, let your body tell you, you know, teach you and guide you. And don't depend on your mind, because the books, the best books on essential oils have not been written yet. All right, I talked about the three chemicals, and so you want to write this down. If you don't have it, the triple punch, or else otherwise known as cancer in the triple punch, and I'll make sure that you get that document too. I'm going to stop talking for a second. I would like to rest my voice and let somebody ask some questions or make some comments. Is there anybody out there with some questions that they have about essential oils. Doris, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm listening. The only one thing I can think of, yesterday I had hold of Maybe, who is a Catahoula dog, extremely strong. So suddenly she took off and she dragged me across the whole backyard type of thing and finally threw me to the ground against the fence.
Oh, no.
I'm okay, but I do have a kneecap that is speaking a little to me. What do you have to say about that?
My favorite subject, that's how I got started in essential oils. excuse me, guys. I was given by a dear friend about 8 different essential oils. I don't remember them all. I'm going to try to remember them. But I do remember the ones that I felt were the most helpful and most significant. I had arthritis in my knees. I had those a horse and carriage business for 10 years. I had a lot of knee injuries during that time, and then I also was one of the first people in California to get Lyme disease, but mine never got diagnosed. So I did wind up with some very bad arthritis in my knees, and it was just getting worse and worse. She sent me lemongrass. Basil, birch.
I shall fast. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Basil.
Lemongrass, basil, and birch.
Uh-huh.
Clove.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all I'm thinking of right now.
Okay.
Lemongrass, basil, birch, clove. There was one more. And I divided them into 2 groups, and I put 1 drop on each knee from each bottle, and 1 group in the morning and 1 group at night. And I had a profound experience. I was able to, immediate pain relief and reduction in the swelling. And I got the use of my legs. I was able to cure my arthritis. It took me about a year.
Wow.
And I didn't use it daily for a year. I probably was pretty methodical for about 6 months, and then maybe down to, that would be twice a day for 6 months, and then maybe down to once a day for another 3 months, and then kind of, as needed for the last 3 months. But basically, yes?
Go ahead.
Okay, basically it was a year to heal my arthritis. And one of the nice things about each one of those essential oils has a reputation for either being analgesic, anti-inflammatory. Let me get my notes here. One more second. Okay, analgesic. That would be birch. Oh, I know, ginger. There it is. That's the other one. I love ginger. So both birch and ginger are analgesic. The anti-inflammatory is basil, birch, clove, and lemongrass. All of those are anti-inflammatory. And what other kinds of antiseptic, antispasmatic? There's probably one more category that I'm not remembering.
Karen?
Yes?
Which ones did you say were analgesic?
Analgesic. I'll give you the whole list. Well, it's not an entire list. I haven't gone through the whole entire alphabet, but I've gotten through the
analgesic. I mean, just of the ones that you mentioned for arthritis.
Okay, that would be birch and ginger. Now, also, wintergreen is the same as birch. They're interchangeable. Wintergreen, birch, and ginger are analgesic. birch and ginger, I mean, birch and wintergreen are like 90% a chemical that is where our modern-day aspirin comes from. And let's see if I can pronounce it. Okay, it's the chemical constituent salicylate, a version of salicylic acid. And it's 89%. And I believe wintergreen is as high. And it's very, very odd that in nature that these two plants would have the same chemical in them. And they're totally unrelated, but they both smell like wintergreen. So you can use that topically, and you can also consume it. Before we go, we have to talk about how to be very, very careful if you're going to start consuming essential oils, because they're extremely concentrated.
Oh, can I ask you a question about the arthritis
yes.
blend?
Yes.
You said that you would put one drop of each on your each knee every night.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
yes.
Is that a regimen that you would recommend? Like, my grandma has arthritis problems, and then another lady I know. And is that something you could recommend, like, generally?
It's difficult to recommend for somebody else, and especially elderly people. The moment that we, you know, if you don't know how toxic somebody is, you really got to be careful. There are oils that are safer, and you know better than many people, Rebecca, about, you know, which oils are safest. If it says that it's good for children or, you know, good for pregnant mothers, then those would be the safest oils to begin with. Also, stay away when you, if you're going to help somebody with essential oils or herbs, but I have access to the essential oil information, stay away from herbs and botanicals that are have any phenylpropanols or propanoids to begin with. Those are the hardest, most difficult ones for people to use. They are very critical to use eventually. And fortunately, my body was young enough at the time, and even though I was very toxic, I could detox readily. Because clove is like the strongest of those oils that have and botanicals that have that kind of property to it. Same is true with dogs. For instance, Doris was saying that her dog was very, very excited. And if this were something that was like a, you know, not just a spontaneous thing that happened, but maybe something that, that happened on a regular basis, or she could, you know, maybe calm the dog down. You don't ever want to use anything with phenylpropanoids on animals, and never on cats. Cats are pure, true carnivores. They are not herbivores. They do not have the capacity to, their livers cannot deal with certain chemicals, certain botanical chemicals. But for one of the ones that cats and dogs that are good for them, to calm them down would be valerian. And then there's a, I think spikenard is a, in the valerian family. That also works, and valerian is available as an essential oil, and it makes it easier to use when you're using an essential oil, because then you can just use it topically. Spikenard is also known as false valerian, but it still has many of the same chemicals as valerian. So that's something that you could use on animals, and if you can use it on animals.
How much would you give a dog?
Give them.
Yeah.
I would again, the age of the animal, the size, how toxic they are, all of those things matter. And I would just start with a protocol like I would on a person. You know, one drop on the skin. Some of the people who went into essential oils and animal husbandry found that they all they did was put it on their hands and then wipe the fur. So I applied it, you know, directly on the, you know, one drop on the belly. I gave my daughter's cat a little valerian. I gave her, I think I took one drop and I put it in like four drops or, you know, or something like that. Yeah. So I think I gave my daughter's cat just one drop of valerian root. And she was an old cat. She was like, you know, 1-2 feet in the grave already. And she had to fly. And, yeah, I think I gave her one drop. And she was like a little, you know, 10-pound cat. She was drunk for 2 days. They love the smell of valerian. So I would just, you know, start off slowly and build, you know, and watch. And one of the things you don't ever want to rush with an animal, it might take 2 or 3 times, well, 3 or 4 times, but if by the 3rd or 4th time your animal is running away from you, you stop doing it. By the 4th time, they will have figured out that, oh, this isn't too bad. Or else they're saying, get away from me. And if you're somebody who pokes and prods at your animal a lot, then they're already conditioned, perhaps, to run away from you. But if they're not conditioned, pay attention to, you know, the signs. You may not be able to tell the first 2 times, but by the 3rd and 4th time, you should be able to tell whether, you know, whether it was a good thing for them or not. So just use it one drop at a time and increase, and then if all goes well, you can even maybe give it to them in a capsule. There are things online about I had to go online to find out, to estimate what a ratio to give the cat was, and that's why I wound up with, I think, one drop is what I decided. And yes, go ahead.
Arthur told me yesterday that he uses DMSO to carry humus into his body, the seawater precipitate, and that he applies this, and it seems to help with things like arthritis and so on. And I could use the essential oils to do the same thing. Have you tried any of that?
You are so right. I do that, and I haven't had a chance to. I like to experiment when I have some downtime, and I'm not thinking about other things, and I'm not pressured. But I recently got some of Doug Borst's, I think, dry armus, and I did one night apply some onto, I don't know whether it was my knee or some, maybe it was the back of my neck, I don't remember, along with some essential oil, and just rubbed it in. And it did carry the ormus in. Any essential oil will do that. And it does it so much more nicely than DMSO. DMSO is in my view, is vulgar. It's just, they're not very...
Well, that's why I asked.
Friendly. Yeah, right. And, yeah, I imagine that the, I have done it after the bath. So my bathing routine is like a meditation to me. And I have a whole ritual around the bath, but then I have a whole ritual after the bath. And that's when I include topical applications of ormus and essential oils.
Speaking of that, Sharon, what oil do you mostly use around the full moon? Because the full moon isn't happening today or tomorrow.
I don't know. I don't know that I ever thought about essential oils in the full moon. I would say that. Go ahead.
The full moon.
I didn't hear that.
But I just wondered, you know. Did you say you didn't hear that?
No, I didn't.
I can use frankincense on the full moon. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I have a story about frankincense. Go ahead.
Go.
Okay. There are many of the essential oils when you begin to do your research and read books and go online and stuff, and they talk about the characteristics. And if you ever come across any essential oil that says that it relieves anxiety or depression, or you come across one that it opens up awareness, increases awareness, or you come across one that says, you know, benefits foggy thinking, you know, things like that, pay attention to those particular oils because they are more likely to interact with the brain than other ones. And frankincense is one of the ones that has a folklore about how it improves communication with God. And I didn't think much about that when I first began with frankincense, but I was on my way to a job interview, and I don't know if you guys recognize that I have a difficult time communicating with words. I'm so much better, you know, in the written word than I am in person. I do tend to stammer and stutter a little bit and have a little bit difficult time finding the right word. I do use pauses and ums and stuff. Well, this particular time, and I used to be a lot worse than I am now. I feel pretty accomplished in my delivery now, more so than I used to be. So I was a little concerned about this interview. And I used frankincense on my brainstem. And if you haven't heard me mention, the brainstem is the place at the back of the neck, at the very, would be the top of the cervical spine. Okay, there's stuff going on there, guys. And can you hear that? Okay, good. And so I used some of that. All right. Whoever's moving around, stop moving. Thanks. I used some frankincense on the brainstem before going to my interview, and I was very articulate. I walked out of there astounded by my own ability to communicate and said, what got into me? And then, bing, it dawned on me. It was the frankincense. So if you do have any issues, personal issues about communicating, public speaking, ability to think clearly, you want to study, you know, be able to study better, you want to be more focused, watch for any of the essential oils that they don't all say the same things, you know. So basil, even though it has some of these same properties, says that it's, let's see, what does basil say? It says that it's an antidepressant. And it helps with grounding and may maintain an open-mindedness. There's not enough there to explicitly say that it's going to help clear brain fog. But that is, in fact, what basil does. It's one of the many things that basil does. All right, so it's very difficult. It's kind of like a guessing game when you're doing your frankincense research, when you're doing your essential oil research. And as far as a full moon, Dennis, I don't know. Now that you mention it, it makes sense that frankincense would be the appropriate thing to use at a full moon or anything that's going to improve mental acuity, open-mindedness, and that kind of connection.
May I make a small suggestion?
Go ahead. Yes.
New moon, I believe, is more appropriate for cleansing and extracting and getting rid of what we don't want. So perhaps that's where the phenylpropanoids and perhaps even the sesquiterpene that erases the garbled information you spoke of.
Yes.
And before a full moon, to reinfuse proper DNA coding that might be a perfect time for use of the monoterpenes.
That's a lovely thought. That's a lovely thought. Now, your personal biology might have some influence on that, too, and many of the essential oils have not just one of those categories. So, like, for instance, basil has all three. Yeah.
Sure.
And
I've got a couple of questions for you, Sharon, and I'm just going to start driving, so I'm going to put you on mute, so I'll ask them, and you can address them if you can.
All right.
Because I'm going to put on mute so I can drive. My two questions are, the essential oils most useful for people who are prone to bipolar, sort of manic depressed state. And the second one is, because I've got a friend here that just could really use that. And second one is, I'm noticing personally that